I call this meeting the Judiciary Committee to order. Chair recognizes a quorum. Members, today we've got the tax court presentation and two bills. My bill, the revisers bill, and House File 861, the Minlar's bill. The revisers bill would be recommended to go to the General Register. It makes technical amendments. And, you know, in my day, we always gave the revisers bill to a freshman. And I don't know how it happened when we started giving it to the chair. But did that happen with you, Chair Scott? Did you get the revisers bill?
Yep.
Okay, so somewhere between 2003 and 2015, we started giving bills to chair. I assume that means some freshman screwed it up at some point.
That's hard to do.
Not us.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to screw up revisers bill. But anyway, okay, that's fine. I got it now. And then House File 861 will be re-referred to Ways and Means. And we're just focusing on the liability portion of this bill. So, minutes of February 20th. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of February 20th?
Move.
Representative Neuer moves the minutes. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. The minutes of February 20th are approved. Tax Court, please come forward. Welcome. This is the presentation for the budget. This is the budget presentation, right? I assume so. Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Brad Del Pena, Chief Judge of the Minnesota Tax Court.
Judge Joanne Turner, also from the Minnesota Tax Court.
Welcome back to the committee.
Thanks.
Please proceed.
When we were here 3 weeks ago, we closed with a heartfelt thanks for funding our case management system. That system, CTRAC, manages the court's docket, its inventory of cases. It allows court personnel in an instant to locate any case, to see a list of all filings and events in the case, and to view all related documents. CTRAC has two additional modules beyond internal docket management. The first, public access, allows the public to remotely view the court's docket over the internet. The second, e-filing, allows taxpayers and other litigants to file documents in court remotely. Our sole change item for this year is for one additional employee to staff an e-filing help desk. Because we will ask taxpayers to use technology to file documents, we want to fully support taxpayers in that task. All judicial branch courts in Minnesota, the District Courts, Court of Appeals, Supreme Court, and the Office of Administrative Hearings, the major administrative court, all already have e-filing systems in place. In this technological age, litigants, including taxpayers, expect courts to receive documents electronically and remotely. E-filing, however, will require taxpayers to use a sophisticated computer program. To e-file a document in any court, a litigant must complete the following steps. They have to create an account with the court, log in and authenticate their identity, navigate screens, properly select filing types from drop-down menus, and attach electronic documents, among other tasks. Although e-filing will be highly convenient for taxpayers and other litigants, it will require the court to provide users with substantial technical and legal support to make sure that process works. Our change item will allow us to provide that support to taxpayers. The person staffing the court's e-filing help desk will need a detailed command of both the CTRAC system and its e-filing module and of all applicable court procedures. The court is confident that we will be able to find a suitable candidate for this important position.
Excellent. Thank you, Judge.
Just to follow up on a couple of points that the Chief made, this is, in some respects, a rather unique position. We partnered with Minute to try to figure out how to describe the position and a best estimate of what it would cost to staff it. It's got to be somebody with some pretty significant technology chops, because they will also need to manage the system for us internally. So, for example, every time Westlaw pushes out a patch, a security patch, not Westlaw, Thomson Reuters, pushes out a security patch or a new update to the system, it has to be tested against our initial configuration to make sure there are no unintended consequences, that we haven't accidentally flipped a switch someplace that throws the system off. In addition, it's got to be somebody who's either comes to the job or is willing to learn our internal procedures and enough about the law to offer some substantial assistance to taxpayers. And it's got to be somebody who can explain to a pro se taxpayer who's up against a filing deadline in calm and measured terms that the pro se litigant can understand exactly what to do. So the number that we've asked for, again, working with Minnit to try to figure out how to describe this person and what our best estimate is of the cost, this is the number Minnit arrived at. If it's more than that, we'll cover that internally, and we will also cover internally any hard costs associated with the position.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So the Minnit number you got, was that the $600,000 number?
No, that's the $125,000 number.
Okay, thank you.
And that's salary and benefits.
Understood. Okay, thank you. Is that kind of the corpus of your presentation?
Yes.
Are there questions that members have from the committee? Okay. Well, quick and dirty. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now, as we get closer between now and markup, I'm sure we'll have more questions, and you know, Rachel will get a hold of you if we need those answered. Okay.
We'll be happy to do it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here today. Thank you, committee.
Okay. I guess we're going to do the revisor's bill next, so I'll just go up there. Do you want to take the helm? All you have a con. Let's do that bill first, since you're just sitting here.
You didn't see me, Mr. Chair.
I didn't see you. Let's just switch it up since you're waiting around, and I'm going to be here anyway. So will everyone else. So do we have a motion from the committee to move Representative Hansen's House File 861, Representative Cantrell? Moves House File 861, this is Menlar's bill. Go ahead, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. House File 861 is making a stop in your committee because of Subdivision 6. And this is a provision that was added by amendment. I had incorporated a concern from Representative Kosnick about, for deputy registers, if we're providing $10 million in reimbursement, that there should be some protection for the state from future litigation if that was accepted. In talking with some folks on line 3.22, I have a suggestion for an oral amendment, Mr. Chair, if that would help clarify on subdivision 6. The suggestion was to strike the words immunity and capitalize the word R on release, because in truth the provision is not an immunity, but it is a release from liability. So this would be a more accurate statement of what the subdivision does. And Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if you have the ability to do oral amendments here, but that was a suggestion from Mr. Carlson.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. Maybe I could ask Mr. Carlson this. Given that section headings are not material in the interpretation of statute, why does that matter?
Uh, Mr. Chairman and members, Joel Carlson with the Minnesota Association for Justice. Just for the record, I have no dog in this fight. I don't want to be involved in the Minlars discussion, and I'm trying to decide. And Representative Scott said, whatever I'm for, she's against. And so I got to figure out how I'm going to say this, how I say this morning. And, Mr. Chair, you were right. They did start giving the bills to chairs after Eric Lipman tubed the revisor's bill on the House floor by accepting an amendment, and I think they were hazing him a little bit, but it's always been that way, and I remember watching it from the gallery, and it was a thing of beauty. Mr. Chair and members, as I read this language, and again, we're not weighing in on this, but I don't think you want to leave the impression that you are immunizing the state by passing this language. What you really have in 3.22 through 3.29 is a settlement and release from liability for the state for any deputy registrar that wants to participate in this. You are not immunizing the state with this language. You're not giving them any statutory protection. And so, while the heading is not part of the statute, and we understand that, you're certainly creating a misimpression with the heading. That doesn't reflect reality that's in the bill. I think it's a minor change to strike those two words, and it cleans up what could be a problem down the road, because immunity is the word that people are going to look at, and you're not giving them any immunity. That was my only suggestion as you asked me to look at the language.
Okay, well, that's fair. I mean, I guess given that, I would accept that as an oral amendment. Is there any objection to that from anyone? Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chair, can you just repeat what exactly the oral amendment is again?
The oral amendment would be on line 3.22 to strike the word and to capitalize the R and release. So instead of immunity and release, it is immunity release from liability. Would be the oral amendment.
Okay. Striking the word and.
Striking the word and.
Got it.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Oh. Okay, scratch that.
Okay,
rewind.
Getting rid of the word immunity too, right?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Chairman, if you want to clean this heading up, here's what I would suggest. I would strike immunity and I would insert settlement. Actually, strike immunity and insert settlement. Settlement and release from liability. That's what you're providing. There, I finally figured it out.
Okay. All right. I don't generally have an issue with this anyway, considering, like I said, the section headings are not interpreted in the statute, so it's not applicable to interpretation, but it could be clarifying for as this bill moves on from here. Any objection to that? So then the oral amendment would be on line 3.22, strike the word immunity and replace it with the word settlement. Am I right? All right. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say no. Motion passes. The oral amendment is successful. So keep going, and Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I think to give a little context, this bill is for this fiscal year. So it's a deficiency bill. It is not a budget bill for the next biennium. And it is of two major parts. One is the money for Minlars for operation, and then the second part, the $10 million Section 4, is money for the deputy registrars for reimbursements. These are the governor's budget recommendations for this fiscal year, FY19. I think that's important into context. I believe there will be other Minlars bills coming for the biennium, but this is one where we're trying to move this fast, because on the Minlars side of it, there are contractors where need to be continued, just like last year as we get into March, and then also recognizing that the deputy registrars have had costs and that we're trying to provide support for those costs. The provision in front of you here, again, from Representative Kosnick, actually had two provisions. One was the subdivision 5, so that if a deputy registrar went out of business after they received the money within 12 months, there'd be a clawback. And then subdivision 6 is this release settlement and release from liability. So these are designed to try to provide some protection for the taxpayer. These are general fund appropriations in this fiscal year. Compared to past appropriations that have been taken from different accounts and different fee-funded accounts, these are general funds going towards finishing MNLARs and then reimbursing deputy registrars.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Can you tell me, as a person who has tried to stay as far as I could away from the MNLARs minutiae, what kinds of things would a deputy registrar sue the state over in the deployment of MNLARs? I mean, what kinds of things are we shielding the taxpayers from liability on this vis-a-vis the deputy registrars?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, last week I chaired the Audit Commission where there was a very detailed report about what went wrong with MNLARs and how that was impacted, how the deputy registrars had costs in that. There was increased time, overtime. There were some employees that quit. There were just the time and the frustration of taking longer to issue what they were issuing before, more simply with the legacy system. So I think it's the cost. The deputy registrars have done surveys in terms of some of their costs relating to expenses and foregone revenue. If you remember, Mr. Chair and members that were here last year, I think there were runs provided when a similar bill was done that broke down. The formula that you will see in the bill for the deputy registrars has a 10% dollar amount to all deputy registrars, and then the bill has a 45% of the calculation is on the transactions that occurred during the MNLARs disaster, and then there's 45% based on the transactions prior to the implementation of MNLARs. So that you can see, based on the volume for the deputy registrars, their costs, what they were doing before on transactions, what they were doing after, and that's the calculation. I actually took the GOP calculation from last year that was on the fee-based system, and we haven't got the runs yet for this $10 million, but I hope to have that by the time we get to the floor.
Okay. All right. Before I ask my next question of you, Rose Hansen, are there any deputy registrars here or any representatives of the deputy registrar? I forgot who the lobbyist is for the deputy registrar now. Was it
Mr. Hurst?
Okay, Mr. Hurst. And ideally also, I don't know if there is an actual representative of the deputy registrars here. I know they've been active in past years lobbying on stuff that they themselves. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tony Quillis, and I have the honor and privilege of representing the deputy registers, the private deputy registers. There are differences between the public deputy registers and the private deputy registers. We've been working very closely with Representative Hansen, who's been doing a great job of involving us and working through this. As he has stated, a lot of this is duplicative language from last year, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so Mr. Quillis, what kinds of things would your clients want to sue the state over if we screwed up?
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to defer to my client and get back to you on that before I'd make any comments on the record. I'm not familiar with that. That came on as an amendment in the last committee in transportation. And I'd have to check with my clients, but I'm not sure exactly what the intricate details of a lawsuit would look like, and I apologize for that.
Okay. Well, Mr. Quillis, we're removing your client's ability to gain compensation. So do your clients have no issue with this waiver in moving forward?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go back and check with them exactly to see what that is. Like I said, as this process is ongoing, this debate has been going on now for a year and a half, and there has been different approaches to it, and as we move forward, I'd like to go back and check with them. I have not had in-depth discussions since Tuesday, when this amendment was offered.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I got one last question then. Why is it that I can get my car tabs online and everything, or mail it in, but when I got to do my motorcycle or my ATV, I got to show up over at Sears?
Mr. Chairman, I'd love to have an in-depth conversation with you offline. I have a personalized plate on a new vehicle that I still have not received. So I can try and figure out why we can do motorcycles and trailer, why we can do cars, what was it, cars online, but not motorcycles and trailers?
Yes, motorcycles.
I'm sure there's a reason behind it, Mr. Chairman, and hopefully as we make this transition, it might be easier, but I can't comment on that.
Just curious. Just kind of weird. Okay, thanks. Any other questions for Mr. Quillis here? Chair Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if this is definitely, well, let me ask you this, Mr. Chair. Are you planning to ask member questions? I don't know that my question's directed to Mr. Quillis.
Yeah, we're going to have
okay.
more. Any other right. member questions for Mr. Quillis? Okay, thank you very for being here for Mr. Quillis. Go ahead, Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have an amendment that would possibly remove that language. And I really am not sure what to do in this situation because we don't know where the registrars are on this issue. And I'd kind of like to hear from House Research as to if we do this down the road, because this Minlars thing isn't over yet. And so we don't know if they're going to, if the registrars are going to be further harmed in any way. We just don't know that. And so I'd like to know if we do this piece with this the change in language, if they're going to be able to have any course of action in the future if they're further harmed, or what exactly this language limits them to.
Well, so is okay, so are you asking that to research?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott, the bill is limited, the release from liability in Subdivision 6 of the bill there on page 3 is limited to the development and deployment of Minlars. So it's a release from liability for any injury suffered due to the development and deployment of the Minlars system. Subsequent damage down the line after development and deployment isn't covered in Subdivision 6.
Mr. Chair?
Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it's not fully developed yet, so we're not to the point yet of knowing if they're going to have further harm done to them or not through this process, because it very well could be. We don't have a crystal ball to know that. And so I'm interested in what other members of the committee think about this, if it's a good idea or a bad idea. And I'm kind of at not knowing what to do here, because we haven't heard from them, from the private registrars, and I'm just not sure what this does.
Well, Madam Chair, Chair Scott. I know what you're saying, and that was, you know, kind of a question I had too. I will say this, the piece that I struggled with was, yeah, without any crystal ball, Mr. Quillis was here, he represents them, he's like, well, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, this is the public hearing on it. This is their opportunity to come and weigh in and say, you know, we got major issues. Second, if the liability is tortious, intentional or what have you, because let's say the new Minlars system zeroes out the ability of the deputy registrars to run their business because we moved to a different system that doesn't include them, which I don't think is being proposed, but let's just say that ultimately happened, they wouldn't have a claim anyway because of official immunity or qualified immunity or something. It would be zero. The only claim they would have would be something along the lines of negligence. So there was a negligent piece in the deployment that impacted and didn't put them out of business, but, you know, there were costs associated with that. And I guess I would expect that if that were to happen, you know, the deputy registrars have been well represented here over the years, and I tend to think that we've taken care of them, and that they probably would be taken care of them, being taken care of again through the legislative process, rather than, let's say, a lawsuit, which we are precluding their ability to recover on here,
in a situation as narrow as negligence. So when I read this, I guess I don't see there is an issue, and I do, well, I'll just say that. But Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And related to Representative Scott's point, I appreciate the bill author's use of the word disaster, and I just want to remind the committee that this is not past tense. This is a continuous, ongoing disaster. So when I got home last night, I wanted to refresh myself with the news of the day, which I normally do, and I came across a shocking story here that, again, was only a few hours old as of yesterday. And this is from Fox 9 regarding Governor Waltz's budget proposal. Governor Waltz is seeking at least $100 million more for Minnesota's driver licensing and registration system, doubling the amount already spent in the program that has been plagued with breakdowns and delays. And then I went over to the Pioneer Press, and the line here says, for perspective, the state originally hired a private contractor for $46 million. This is that decade ago. And as of at the end of session last year, we were already exceeding $100 million. And I believe the last bill we did was $10 million, if I recall. So we're about $110 million right now. And then this is another, this is $16 million. So in addition to the $110 million and then the $16 million here, there's a budget proposal for another $100 million for this system. And in part of that, it says, to operate it for 2 years, hire staff, reimburse. So here's my point.
Did you, yeah, does the point relate to this liability section?
My point to the liability section is the cost. Because of the ongoing, the concern for me, as was articulated by the bill author, that there have been these problems, and some, I believe one deputy registrar already has gone out of business. And so, because it's an ongoing disaster, to echo what Peggy Scott or Representative Scott said, I have concern about limiting liability. We need to make them whole, but we don't know what further is going to be because the development is still going on. We still have other pieces of Midlars that need to happen, and the deployment of those new that new development still has to go out. And so we do not know. So I echo the concerns, and I'm very concerned about the bill overall. And the cost of Midlars. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, absolutely, Representative Lucero. Representative Hansen, we'll go to you, but I will say, how many committees is this going through, Representative Hansen?
It was in transportation, Mr. Chair. It was in transportation. It is in your committee. It'll go to Ways and Means next, and then to the floor.
Okay, so, and I know it's been in multiple other committees in previous years, and you know, because of that, you know, the major part of this is I don't know what you said on transportation, but as far as I'm concerned, the whole back and forth over is, are we whistling past the graveyard or dumping money down a rat hole? I think that's a transportation argument. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think this would help answer questions for Representative Scott. I mentioned this is a deficiency bill, so and if you look on lines 3.23, it is for the creation or payment of reimbursement grants under this section. So this is session law that hopefully we can get passed quickly so that we can get dollars out to the deputy registrars and that we can get the dollars to Midlars. So it is an FY19 deficiency payment. It is for grants under this section. I am not carrying the ongoing budget request for Midlars. I have been dealing with Midlars because I got on that technology committee that, where's Baker? Representative Baker. And so, and I have lived this drama for a year and a half. And I think it's the right thing to do to get the money out to the deputy registrars. I think we want to do that in a fiscally responsible way. I think this is a logical correction that Representative Cosmic, I was trying to be bipartisan and say, here, let's could we please, instead of going over who did what when, could we please actually get this fixed and get some money out to the deputy registrars and get this working so that we could finally get the system working. So what's in front of you is a deficiency bill for this fiscal year, the grants that would be applied if they apply for them, whatever they do in the additional budget That can be hashed out in the budget process. I will be over in environment working on my stuff. But I'm asking for your support. I think we can have that debate, but it's a good protection. I think Representative Kosnick is here, and I just want to acknowledge that I think these were good ideas, and so I tried to incorporate them.
Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, so I just want to make sure I'm understanding right. The release from liability in Subdivision 6 that we're talking about only applies to this grant money for the years that it's provided. It doesn't refer to any release for future payments that might come out of the Mindlars issue.
Representative Hansen.
Correct.
Okay. Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick comment regarding Subdivision 5, since it was referenced. And that is, I have some concern in regards to a clawback, and my thinking on this is, imagine the deputy registrars that have been under strain now for the last year and a half, 2 years, roughly, and they're having to absorb these additional costs. And even after this passes, and if one of them, let's say, goes out of business, but it can be directly attributable to the strain that they've been enduring for the last couple of years, I'm not sure that it's correct that we should claw back something, because they will have already lost potentially a couple $100,000 as a, you know, again, direct result of this. So anyway, just put that out there for thought regarding Subdivision 5.
Hey, you know, I appreciate that, Representative Lucero. I would hearken to the sage legal axiom that you can't get blood out of a turnip, so I don't know how you're going to get money back from after they go out of business. But Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment in that, tying the funding for Mindlars, which all of us are well aware of its deficiencies, but tying it to the reimbursement for the deputy registrars is a good thing. I think this is their best chance of getting their money back, so I'm supportive.
Any other questions for Representative Hansen on Subdivision 6? Chair Johnson.
Chair Less, just a couple quick things. One, I've been trying to follow this bill. I know it was just at this section was just amended onto it on, I believe, Tuesday. And before that, I don't know if Subdivision 6 was even on the bill. So I'm just wondering, because we talked about if the private deputy registrars even know about this yet, I'm just wondering how long this section has been attached to this bill so they would even have an opportunity to be down here today to talk about it.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, the deputy registrars testified during the transportation hearing where it was added. And that was noticed in the, it was posted on Monday.
Who said that?
I believe we had that testimony. Yes. And then we also talked about it. I had three bills. I had a deputy registrar reimbursement bill the week before, and we raised the issue. And Representative Kosnick first brought the idea up. So there, it was aired in that discussion. And I'm just trying to remember if I had Representative Kosnick. Did Mr. Hurst testify? So, yeah.
Okay. Chair Johnson.
That was my concern, to make sure they had a time, especially when we got notice of this bill being before this committee yesterday afternoon. So it was very late, so it was tough to get in contact with the people to find out. And the other issue I have is a little bit just a reminder that we passed the same bill last year without that subdivision. That was for the previous year, so we've gone just about another year with these deputy registrars losing funds that is not allocated in this bill, so it's less. Actually, they have less money they're getting for the time, because we're not dealing with the last 8 to 12 months.
Okay. Other comments from members? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hansen. I had a deputy registrar in my office last week, and I echo Representative Lucero's concerns about the clawback, because, I mean, this gentleman and his colleague are on the brink of going out of business now for the harm already caused. So if the attempt is to make them whole, they've already incurred those costs and are struggling mightily, so I'm not sure that that's the best tool. And secondly, I'm a freshman, and so I wasn't here last year. Some estimates I read were that they've been, their costs have been like $30 million, and this provides $10 million. So is there any breakdown of how that is, or are we attempting just to provide a certain percentage of their losses? Can you explain that number for me? Thank you.
Mr. Hanson.
Mr. Chair, and I understand we're talking about subdivision six. We had the whole discussion in the Transportation Committee about the merits of the bill.
Sure.
But there have been a wide variety of numbers provided. Some numbers were lower, some numbers were higher, some were way higher. The recommendation in front of you is the governor's recommendation for $10 million, and I'm carrying that.
And thank you for that indulgence, Representative Hanson. Representative Grossel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I just got one question for the author. Why is the funding for making the deputy registers whole tied to the Minlar's request? Because I know we all want to make those deputy registers whole. We all know what this debacle of Minlar's has been. Why couldn't that be a separate request, a separate bill, so that we could move past, either throwing money down, like you said, Mr. Chair, if you're either throwing money down a hole or
whistling
just
past
getting
the graveyard.
Yeah, whistling past the graveyard, or just making a separate request to do what's right for the deputy registers.
Well, Representative Hanson.
Mr. Chair, if the money doesn't come from Minlar's, then all activity stops. You have to pay people to do the work, and so that's going to impact the deputy registrars, and we'll be right back to where that's what happened last year when we only did we delayed the implementation of the dollars in March, and contractors left, and they had to start over with new people, and that had an impact, and that delayed the upgrades to Minlar's, which then caused more frustration for deputy registrars, but also more frustration for Minnesotans. So the reason they're together is we're all in this together. We're all in this together. We have to make sure that the system gets fixed, because the implementation of the functionality makes the deputy registrars have to be able to work this stuff. If the people aren't there to answer the phone when the deputy registrars have a problem, no one's going to answer the phone. No one's going to fix the problems. That's why we need the money to go to the contractors to keep working on it, to solve the problems, to make the deputy registrars' lives easier and make Minnesotans' lives easier.
Thank you, Representative Hanson. And members, I permitted a certain measure of latitude on this, that it went beyond Subdivision 6, just because some folks don't sit on transportation, but you'll have opportunities to bring these questions up on the floor as well, too. Our job here in committee is to craft this legislation as it relates to the liability section. Are there any other questions that relate? One second. Well, has she offered? Are you going to offer your amendment?
I was raising my hand just to let you know that I'm not going to offer the amendment, Mr. Chair. And I have some degree of comfort that if the deputy registrars incur further loss and further hardship on an ongoing basis with Minlar's, that we can come back as a legislature and, once again, hopefully make them whole. So I just wanted to get that on the record as well.
Okay, thank you. And that is my hope and expectation as well, Representative Hanson. I know that's not, your bill necessarily, but these folks do a lot of work. They're family-run businesses, and I think because of that, they've been well represented up here in the past, and we've tried to do our best to take care of them. Whether they say we have or not, I don't know, but I feel like the sense I've gotten that we tried is that we take it seriously because they do the critical work that we don't get done from, state employees technically, even though I can't mail in my motorcycle tabs and I got to show up. I move that House File 861, as amended, is whose motion was that? That was Representative Cantrell's motion. Moves that House File 861 is re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. House File 861, as amended,
is referred to Ways and Means. Thank you, Representative Hansen.
Thank you.
Okay, so reviser's bill. It's the thick one with all the tiny words. And Representative Mahler.
Jason detected 540 in the morning.
And you have read it, haven't you? 540 in the morning.
Just kidding. Did you really read it?
I just gave him a little bit of...
I didn't have a
lot of... Have you ever... Of course,
yeah. Sure is.
That guy's hilarious.
He's bigger than that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move that House File, what is it? 1065 be referred to the General Register. And I have with me a deputy reviser who's able to speak to the bill.
All right. Go ahead and introduce yourself, and you may begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Case, and I'm the Deputy Reviser of Drafting in the Reviser of Statutes Office. As Chair stated, this is our annual bill to correct the laws and statutes. I would add that the bill goes through a rigorous screening to make sure that none of the changes in it are controversial in the legislature or make substantive changes. It has a process of internal review. We share the document with House Research and Senate Counsel. And we also consult with state agencies, legislative commissions, and other interested parties. The only other thing I would mention is that I believe members of the committee have this copy here that is not stamped by the chief clerk's office, but House Research thought it would be a good idea just to verify or for the record or that this is House File 1065, the reviser's bill. It's 19-1896 in the upper right-hand corner, and it's dated 2/11/19, so just doing that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Case, and I think all of us have a copy of that and can note that that is House File 1065. Any other further testimony?
No.
Okay.
I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Any questions for members? No questions? Any other final comments? Oh, yes, Chair Liebling.
Madam Chair, I see an amendment in the packet. Is that just something that... Oh, I'm sorry. That is to a different bill. Pardon me.
We're not going to offer that, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
Any? Okay. Definitely not. Any other comments, Representative Lesh?
Appreciate your support.
And, we're not quite done yet. Chair Liebling.
Madam Chair, thanks for the indulgence. Sorry, Representative Lesh. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank the reviser's office. You know, you guys, we were kind of joking over here about have you read every word of this bill. Of course, none of us have. And we trust the reviser, which has been, Mr. Kaz, thank you very much. I mean, you guys do great work, and we really appreciate it. We know that you work very hard. We know the reviser's office this session has been unbelievably busy trying to get all our bills jacketed and do all that hard work. And just so members know, you know, this has been, they are, as far as I've been here, have always been extremely trustworthy and have really done great work for this institution. So thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Chair Liebling.
Yes, thank you, Chair Liebling. That was a worthy comment. Is there anybody from the audience who wishes to testify? All right, seeing none, I renew the motion that House File 1065 be placed on the General Register. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mr. Chair.
All right. Chair Lesh, did you want to resume or should we wrap it up? All right. With that, we are in adjournment. Our next meeting is Tuesday, February 26th. Meeting is adjourned.